Welcome to the Confluence Investment Management Biweekly Asset Allocation Report for June 10th, 2024. I'm Phil Adler. A comparison between copper and gold prices has, in the past, been a reasonably reliable predictor of bond yields. But it looks like this indicator no longer works. Confluence Investment Management Senior Market Strategist Thomas Wash joins us today to explain why. Thomas, the indicator we're looking at today is called the copper to gold ratio. Now, what is it exactly?
The copper to gold ratio is a valuable gauge of investor sentiment towards risk. It compares the price of copper, an industrial metal that thrives during economic expansion, to gold, a traditional safe haven asset. A rising ratio indicates a risk-on mood, suggesting investors are confident in economic growth and are willing to embrace riskier assets. Now, conversely, a declining ratio signals a risk-off environment, as investors seek the perceived safety of something like a gold due to economic uncertainty or market stress.
And how has it been useful in the past in predicting bond yields for longer-term bonds with terms of 10 years or greater?
Well, the 10-year Treasury yield often trends along a rising gold-to-copper ratio, but they reflect risk appetite differently. The copper-gold ratio indicates economic growth optimism through rising copper demand, while Treasury yields can signal both confidence and inflation worries. Now, investors might sell bonds, which raises yields, if they expect strong economic growth to push up inflation, and they might buy bonds if they assume duration is no longer a problem.
So, when the price ratio of copper to gold has risen in the past, investors could expect longer-term bond yields to rise as well to anticipate inflation. How accurate has this relationship been in the past?
Historically, the copper-gold ratio has explained around half of the movement in 10-year Treasury yields over the past 15 years, making it one of the most influential indicators for bond investors alongside factors like the U.S. dollar and federal funds rate. However, its effectiveness likely benefited from a period of stable inflation expectation. When inflation is well anchored, the 10-year Treasury yield can more closely track movements in gold prices. This is because both are viewed as safe haven assets, making them more attractive to investors seeking shelter during times of trouble.
And when did the reliability of the indicator in predicting longer-term bond yields start to break down?
The COVID-19 pandemic disrupted this historical relationship. Previously, this connection was quite strong, leading some hedge fund analysts to rely heavily on the copper-gold ratio as a signal to buy and sell bonds. However, the link has a history of vulnerability, as evidenced by the breakdown following the 9/11 attack. It took several years and the subsequent financial crisis for the relationship to reestablish itself.
So, Thomas, is it fair to say that this indicator only worked well in a low inflation or low interest rate environment?
Well, I think that is mostly correct. In our view, low inflation expectation and a stable growth outlook underpin the stable relationship between the ratio and long-term treasury rates. This environment allowed investors to comfortably hold long-term assets without fearing a decline in purchasing power. However, the post-pandemic world has disrupted this dynamic. Investors now face an economy increasingly resistant to rising interest rates, while inflation remains stubbornly persistent, thus making U.S. government bonds less attractive.
Well, let's explore this further. Has the increase in government deficits played any role in the breakdown of the copper-to-gold ratio as a useful indicator of longer-term bond yields?
The relationship between the copper-gold ratio and the treasury yields isn't straightforward. Government stimulus spending has impacted interest rate expectations. The resulting rise in government debt and inflation has pushed investors towards seeking higher returns on 10-year treasuries and exploring alternative assets during times of uncertainty. Now, at the same time, geopolitical tensions have further amplified this shift, with emerging market central banks stockpiling gold to mitigate risk from potential U.S. sanction. This increased demand for gold has put downward pressure on the copper-gold ratio.
Lots of new bond supply, Thomas, will be coming to market to service the deficit, the federal deficit. At the same time, the Federal Reserve is buying fewer bonds to replace maturing debt. Has this Federal Reserve policy also affected the copper-to-gold ratio as an indicator of yields?
Yes. Monetary policy adds another layer of complexity to the relationship. The Federal Reserve's tightening actions has triggered a steeper rise in short-term treasury yields compared to long-term ones, therefore inverting the yield curve. This inversion discourages investment in 10-year bonds, as investors can secure higher returns with shorter maturities while avoiding the drawbacks of lower liquidity and longer duration.
A few moments ago, Thomas, you mentioned foreign central banks also contributing to this change through the metals market. Could you elaborate on this point? Explain how their actions are impacting the current situation.
The Russia-Ukraine war has triggered a surge in gold buying by BRICS nations, led by China. This likely stems from anxieties about potential friction with the U.S., particularly over Taiwan, and the risk of losing access to dollar-denominated assets. This collective dash for gold as a hedge against U.S. retaliation has buoyed gold prices, weakening the copper-to-gold ratio despite a recent uptick in copper prices.
Well, what would it take for the traditional relationship between the copper-gold ratio and longer-term bonds to be restored?
For the relationship between the copper-gold ratio and treasury yields to normalize, two factors need to adjust. First, investors need to regain confidence in the Federal Reserve's ability to tame inflation and return it to its 2% target in a reasonable time frame. Second, the U.S. and China need to build trust. You know, Beijing fears of U.S. retaliation for potential intervention in Taiwan is a primary driver of recent gold price increases. If the two superpowers can find common ground, gold prices may stabilize at a level reflecting under economic fundamentals.
Is a restoration of the historical relationship likely, do you think?
There are headwinds that could prevent a near-term return in the relationship. Several hot CPI reports in the first quarter have stoked worries about sticky inflation, challenging the Federal Reserve's ability to achieve its 2% target. Adding to the headwinds, the recent election of a pro-independence leader in Taiwan has further strained U.S.-China relations, raising concerns about a potential conflict. However, there is a potential silver lining. Signs of a slowing U.S. economy, evident in weak consumer demand from April's retail sales and personal consumption data, suggest that the economy may be slowing, which should alleviate some price pressures. This in turn could bring down treasury yields to a level more consistent with what the copper-to-gold ratio suggests.
Thomas, it seems like there are multiple trends, all pointing to higher inflation for the longer term, and that might mean that many predictors which have been useful in the past are no longer useful. Is that perhaps the main takeaway from our discussion today for investors?
Yes. In fact, our long-term outlook anticipates a period of higher inflation than what investors are familiar with. This expectation stems from two primary factors, the potential deglobalization and persistently tight labor markets. These factors could prevent treasury yields from reaching their pre-pandemic lows, as inflation is likely to consistently stay below the Fed's 2% target. Additionally, a fracturing geopolitical landscape may incentivize countries to hold more gold as an alternative reserve currency, further disrupting the historical relationship between the copper-gold ratio.
Thomas, one last question. Confluence has been bullish on gold prices, which certainly has been a correct reading over the past 5 years. The price of gold in dollars is up, according to one chart I've seen, over 13% just in the past 6 months. Going forward, does Confluence expect more of the same, and does the firm have a target price for gold?
Well, that's a very complicated question. Central bank actions have distorted markets, so our traditional model suggests gold is significantly overvalued. However, momentum indicators hint at a potential slowdown in the price increase, so we anticipate gold to end the year within a range of $2,250 and $2,500.
Thank you, Thomas. Our discussion today is based upon sources and data believed to be accurate and reliable. Opinions and forward-looking statements expressed are subject to change without notice. This information does not constitute a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security. Our audio engineer is Dane Stoll. I'm Phil Adler.